You're listening to Wheelationships.
Good morning. What a great sea of faces. It's wonderful to see you. If you are new to the class, I'm Trudy McDaniel, Pastor Tim's wife. We kind of co-teach the class. I'll do a week, he'll do a week, so you get a good variety between the two of us. But welcome. I happen to think we have a wonderful Sunday school class, a group, great group of people. So good to have you guys here this morning. All right, so last Sunday we began the series, Why Are You Like That? In dealing with annoying people, because we've all got annoying people in our life. We've all been that annoying person to somebody at some time or another. And today we're looking at understanding some social styles, but just a brief peek at last week, in case you were not here, a couple of things that we talked about, what Scripture has to say about how we are to love others, the difficult task of loving others like Jesus commanded us to love them, to love our neighbor, which, by the way, includes everybody. Your Scripture defines neighbor as your family member, your friend, your coworker, your enemy, those strangers that you don't even know personally. We're commanded to love them. We talked about different ways that we communicate and we receive messages, both verbal and nonverbal communication. And then we talked about how understanding your own personality type or social style, same label, I might use those interchangeably, means the same thing, will help you better understand why certain people annoy you, or why certain character traits that you have annoy some people and maybe not others. It helps you have a better understanding of that. So we're going to begin this morning by taking a little quiz. I heard some moans in the classroom. See, a good test taker. How about that? I promise you, it doesn't take more than about 5 minutes. So if you'll get the piece of paper that says determining your social style, make sure you're on the side that says ask characteristics and tell characteristics. Now, I will tell you this. Do what? Anybody have an extra test on your page? Don't give up yours, but if you have extras. All right, now don't get started yet. We're going to work on that together, but let me just tell you a couple things. All right, this is not my favorite tool, this particular test for determining your primary personality trait or your social style, but it is the best one to give you a quick look at it. We're going to have available for you in a couple of weeks. We're going to go through each one of the four different types, and we'll have available for you, for those that are interested, a whole lot more in-depth test. If this one made you roll your eyes, you'll really roll your eyes at the other one. But I love the other one because it paints a very detailed picture percentage-wise. How much you have this of you, this or this or this. What we're going to do today is just going to paint a really broad, colorful one end of the spectrum of each personality type. But I strongly encourage you to look at that other one. You'll get a whole lot more out of the class if you do. You'll get a whole lot more even if you just do this one. But this one's going to pretty much primarily just show you your main personality style of the four. But anyway, so we're gonna look through this. You should be on this side that's ask characteristics or tell. You're going to pick one or the other. Don't labor a long time over them. Just check the one that most applies to you. Are you less assertive and more introverted? Or are you more assertive and more extroverted? You're starting on the ask and tell side. Ask and tell side. Is your outward response under stress flight? Or is your outward response under stress fight? Don't overanalyze. I know, those are hard. This is
Cooper?
Yeah. I tell you, tests are especially hard for the analytical types because they want to analyze it. Well, what about this? Well, in this situation, just do your best. Sorry about the heat. In about 10 minutes, it'll be really cold, I promise you. Is your driving emotion and motivation under stress fear? Or is your driving emotion and motivation under stress anger? What's pushing you in those circumstances? All right, this should not be hard. Okay. Do you communicate hesitantly, or are you a ready communicator? You just readily communicate. Do you have a lower quantity of talk or a higher quantity of talk? Are you more quiet or are you more talkative? You personally. Is your pace of speech slower or is your pace of speech faster? Is your volume soft or is it loud? By and large. I'm not talking about when you're yelling at the kids. I'm just talking on average. Are your body movements slow and deliberate? Or are your body movements fast and rapid?
I don't know.
I think we can all fill in Mary Jane's blank. All right. Are you more tentative and less forceful, or you tend to be less tentative and a more forceful type of personality? Are you one who reserves their opinions, or are you one who readily shares your opinions with others? I'll address that later, Mary Jane. Okay. Just try to do it as general as you can. Are you less confrontative, or are you more confrontational? How's my pace? Am I doing okay? Okay. Non-aggressive or more aggressive? Do you make thoughtful decisions? You're going to ponder and labor over them a little bit more? Or are you more decisive, more quick to make those decisions? You're going to definitely be on the thoughtful end of things. You will not pressure people for decisions, or you will pressure people for decisions. Are you patient or impatient? Right. Are you not a huge risk taker or more of a risk taker? Do you avoid the use of power, if at all possible, or will you use personal and positional power? Are you an attentive listener, or do you have difficulty listening? Okay, and then real quick, what are you going to do is you're going to count the numbers in each column. See what you may not even have to count them. You may be able to glance. I could glance at mine and go, whoa, I knew exactly which one I was. And then check, are you more of an asker, or are you more of a teller? You're not through. Pick. And then turn your paper over. All right. Everybody doing okay? Got the first side. Now we're doing task or relationship. First question is the only one I didn't like because we live in South Florida and to me everybody's informal. But does your dress tend to be more formal or are you more informal? Are your topics of speech current issues and tasks at hand? Or are your topics of speech tend to center more around people and stories and antidotes? Okay, Tim's got more tests. Anybody besides I know Karen? That's okay. Hey, John Cole up here needs one. All right, is your body posture more rigid or are you more relaxed? Are your facial expressions more controlled or are they more...
Looks like somebody answered that one.
Yeah. Or are they more animated? Maybe not to the same extreme, but you can be... People tell you, boy, you can be read like a book. Is your general attitude more towards the serious side or are you more towards the playful side? Everybody doing all right? And it is. I've heard both sides of the room. Boy, it depends on the situation. We are going to talk about that. The other test, I even strongly suggest you do it in different environments. And you can do this one the same way. You can write a line up top, environmental setting. Take it how you are at work, how you are at home, because that will make a difference. You may be a different, stronger in one area when you're on the job than when you are at home. So that's perfectly fine to do that. Church. Social settings. Are you more reserved or are you more outgoing? Are you controlled and do you have controlled and guarded emotions? You kind of keep them close to your chest there? Or are you very free to share your emotions? Are you filled with facts and data or are you filled more with opinions and stories? Are you less interested in small talk or more interested in small talk? Are your decisions fact-based or are your decisions more on gut feeling? Are you disciplined about time or are you less disciplined about time? How's your stewardship in the time area? Are you a rule follower? Are you strict and disciplined about your rules or are you more permissive and lenient about rules? Lee, there's two seats here, one seat here. Get him a quiz.
Your rules.
Are you restrained and guarded when sharing your opinions, or are you more impulsive and forceful when sharing your opinions? Yeah, are you more restrained and guarded when you share your opinions, or are you more impulsive and forceful when sharing your opinions? You don't mind diving in and sharing what you think about something. People don't have to come and ask you. Are you hard to get to know? Do you kind of keep people from a distance? Or are you very easy to get to know? You don't keep people from a distance. You're very open. And then the last one is, are you preoccupied or are you more carefree? And again, just as you did on the front side, you're going to check either you're more task or you're more relationship. I'll give you a second to look that through. Then the next blank, it says chart one, chart two. In that first blank by chart one, you're going to write down which you were. Were you the ask or the tell? And you'll write that in the first blank. The second blank, you'll write whether you were task and relationship. And that's going to give you a very quick, very broad snapshot of your primary personality. So if you've written down ask and task, when we talk about the analyticals, that's more your strong suit. That's more where you are. If it happens to be ask relationship that you've written down, you're going to be in the amiable group. If you're tell task, you're the drivers. You're the ones we're going to start off talking about this morning. And if you're more tell relationship, you're in the expressive group. Okay, like I said, this is not my favorite tool, but it does give you a pretty accurate, broad snapshot so we can at least kind of start going in that direction and you have something to work with. All right?
And we post today's class, when we post the audio, that chart.
Okay. Yeah, Tim said when we post the audio for today's class, there'll be a link, so if you want to either share it. I think it's great having spouse, kids, because that's what all this is all about, is helping you in relationship to understand other people better. So, all right, now, also real quick, I'm going to touch by, because some of you have had, let's reel it in, some of you have had experiences with the personalities and social styles, so you have some labels already in your head that are more familiar to you than others. I mentioned them last week. Show you really briefly, we talked about Hippocrates had, he named them choleric, sanguine, phlegmatic, melancholy, so that may be what you've been exposed to. In Scripture, in both Ezekiel and Revelation, God refers to the four types of man as lion, man, ox, and eagle, which he was in the visions just saying, hey, this is four aspects of my personality that I've poured into each of you. Other ones use the DISC as their labeling for the four primary personality types, and still others call them the driver, expressive, amiable, and analytical. And that's what we're going to, the labels we're going to try to use. It's not the ones that come readily to my brain because I'm more the DISC or the choleric sanguine, but Tim and I were talking, and those four labels really tell you what they mean better. You know, I could stand up here and going, well, if you're an I, well, what does that mean? But if I say, if you're an expressive, you kind of automatically sort of know what that means. So we're going to use driver, expressive, amiable, analytical. The last thing I want to remind you of, there's three little tips as we look at these tests that's important for you to remember. Number one, no one is 100% that temperament. So if you're an analytical or you're a driver, you are not going to be 100% driver. You are a mix and a blend of the others. Somebody that is a driver with an analytical secondary is going to look completely different from somebody that is a driver with an expressive secondary. So that's why that other quiz that we got coming later is real important to do, because you can see a broader picture, really colors in the detail more of your personality type. But you're going to be a blend, but you will have a dominant personality type. Number two, there aren't good temperaments and bad temperaments. You're not going to look at one and go, man, I'm glad that's not me. No. They're all good, but each personality, each social style has weaknesses and they have strengths. And then the third thing we mentioned is that nothing exists in a vacuum. That personality trait that flows naturally through you and the way God gifted you is going to be affected by your gender, your birth order, you know, the home you were raised in. Different things like that are going to kind of shape it a little bit differently, so keep those things in mind as well. All right, y'all with me? You good? Take a deep breath, because here we go. We're going to start talking this morning about the first of the two extroverts. We've got two extroverts and two introverts of the four. And this morning, we're going to talk about the drivers. And on your handout there, the first blank, these are called the control specialists. You have any idea why they're called the control specialists? They have a very strong compulsion to perform and to be in control. They are oftentimes easily identifiable, second only to the expressives. Even if you don't know the four personality types, you can recognize an expressive from a million miles away. Because they stand out. Drivers are also, if you've been around them enough time, they're usually pretty easy to identify as well. They are often looked up to and admired by the other personality types, but they can also be the most intimidating of the four. Some examples: General George Patton, Clint Eastwood, John Wayne, Margaret Thatcher, Barbara Walters, Paul from the New Testament, who wrote more than half of the New Testament, God's driver for the job. Joshua in the Old Testament. God chose Moses to lead and in a lot of ways parent the Israelites for 40 years. But when it came time to find a man who would go in and conquer the land, it was that driver Joshua that God chose and told, be strong and courageous. These drivers are strong. They're conquering world shakers that do not know how to spell the word fear. It's not in their vocabulary, and they will get done what nobody else seems to be able to get done. Outwardly, they can be recognized by two primary things. Number one, they are ambitious, very goal-oriented. They have a strong desire to accomplish. They have their goals mapped out, and by golly, they're going to meet them. You know, get out of the way, because they're going to meet them. Number two, they are direct. If there is one phrase you will hear a driver say often, and if he doesn't verbalize it, he's at least thinking it, and it's this: get to the point. Redundancy drives them crazy. They do not have time to sit around and talk about it, because both of those things interfere with productivity, and productivity is their number one thing on their agenda. And people and things that interfere with their productivity drives them nuts. You aren't being productive when you're doing those things. So the next blank there, they hunger for productivity. And then for them, productivity is speed and pressure. And they hunger for challenges. And that's all about control. We're going to talk about that in a minute. This temperament wants things done right, but speed is more important than perfection. Now, when we talk about the analyticals, man, they want things done right too, but they want it with excellence. And it doesn't matter if it takes all day, they're going to do it perfect. But these drivers, they want it done right, but they're more important, more care about, let's get the job done. Let's get it done. With the driver, pressure is often present. In fact, they generate pressure many times with their unreasonable deadlines and demands, because they thrive and operate very well under pressure, but they create pressure for other people as well. They like to control, but most of the time, it's not for the sake of control itself. It's for a challenge. The challenge is what causes them to want to control, not just so they can say they're controlling. To this person, change is good. They love change. Analyticals hate change. I'm one of them. Drivers love change. Most of the time, the reason why they love change is because things are changing the way I want them to be done, and we're finally going to do it my way and the right way. So they love change. They love change. All right. And also remember, again, we're talking the far end of the spectrum. Some of these things we say, you may go, okay, I wrote down driver, that is so not me. That is so true, because you're going to have other personality traits that blend in and tone down some of those most vivid aspects of your personality. They're also not the most patient, and they're very direct, and they're very strong. Remember, one of the scripture refers to this driver as the lion. Amos 3:8, the lion has roared. Who isn't frightened? Typically, drivers don't care if you don't like it. They really don't care that you don't like what they've said. It's not because they're trying to be cruel. They really just, it's necessary in their eyes to get the job done. So it's one of those, either come with me or get out of the way. Two important things to remember about the driver to help you understand them better. My husband teased my handout yesterday. He said, man, you can tell the driver didn't write that, because that's way too many words in that little heading there. Because I really did try to make the handout real concise and to the point for these drivers filling them out today. So at the time, I didn't appreciate his comment, though. All right, so two things to remember. Number one, they are born, and I emphasize that word born. They are born with confidence. There is nothing that they can't do. They emerge from the womb with one time frame, and that is now. I want to be fed now. I want to be changed now. That is the only time frame they know. And their reaction phrase isn't just let's get it done. It's let's get it done now. If you have raised a driver or you are currently raising a driver, nobody has to tell you. You know it. You know it. They're the kid that you looked at when other people were raising, going, man, if they just put their foot down, they'd tow that kid in line. Oh, it is a whole different ball game when you are raising a driver. We have one of those, and it was like parenting for the very first time. Those little lions, they know how to roar. One author wrote this to say about them. They says, the powerful driver child looks out of the cradle and wonders to herself, how long before I can take over this entire house from mother? They come with this sense and this innate desire to be in charge and to be the boss, even at a young age. So it is very important from early on that these little ones learn that as parent, when there's battles, as a parent, you win, period. Wimpy parenting, what I call wimpy parenting of, well, now you just wait till your father gets home, or I'm not going to tell you one more time. That's not, really doesn't work on any kid, in my opinion, but it really doesn't work on a driver child. They will run you over and overwhelm you before you have even had your lunch for the day. They'll walk all over you, and they'll rule you, and they'll rule the roost. The key, excuse me. The key is to win the battles in the early years, establish yourself as leader, and then work yourself out of a job as they grow up. That type of child, they need something to be in charge of. Remember, control is huge with them. Give that poor little kid something to be in charge of. They need to learn how to lose graciously. A driver really doesn't want to play if they can't win. So they need to learn how to lose graciously. No name calling. They need to learn tact and diplomacy. They are blunt, naturally blunt. When we talk about the analyticals can be really blunt. They can have a really sharp tongue, but it's mostly with people in their inner circle, their spouse, their kids, you know, their close-knit people. Drivers, young or old, they're blunt with everybody. Number two, only thing, the only thing they want is productivity. Now, the analyticals, they want productivity, but they want it with excellence. The expressives, when we talk about them, they want productivity, but they want it with excitement and enthusiasm. They just want to make sure everybody's having a good time while we're doing the job. The drivers only want productivity. And then the things and the people that annoy them the most, as I said, are the ones that get interfere with that productivity and getting the job done. So each social style, they have strengths and weaknesses, but the two most easily identifiable weaknesses of the driver. Number one, arrogant. People look at them and they think, well, they think they're superior, they're cocky, they're overconfident. The second thing that they often will be perceived as is they don't care about other people's feelings. Hosea 13:8 says, like a lion, I will devour them. And again, remember, those other personality traits will soften these issues. Drivers can be very dangerous in a fight because they are more concerned about productivity than they are about protecting your feelings. Excuse me. Other surprising aspects of the driver. I mentioned they love challenges. They are inspired by challenges. They're thrive. You can, in a workplace, somebody can go to a driver and say, hey, nobody else has been able to get this job done. Will you? And man, they'll take it on and they'll get it done. They also thrive in emergencies. Anyone have a little drink of water? Both situations are highly productive scenarios. You can have more change in an emergency in 10 minutes worth of time than other situations will have in a year. They can be quiet and patient if they are focused on a goal. A lion, a real lion, they can crouch and lay in wait if they have prey in their sight and be very patient. Excuse me. I've probably been trying to talk too loud this morning. The other thing is, they do not like to listen, and they don't like to explain themselves. They have such confidence that they just want you to trust what they have told you and what they have told you to do. They do not want to explain to you why. They know what they're doing. And if you know a driver, you're drinking my water. Sorry about that. If you know a driver, you've been raised by a driver, you're married to a driver, you work for a driver, and somebody says to you, how do you disagree with a driver? Most of the time you'd say, you don't. You just don't. The only way to disagree with a driver is to agree on a goal and test a method. For example, if you have a driver husband in the house, and he is just roaring about the fact that you guys cannot get to church on time. What in the world is so difficult about this? What is the problem? Why can't we get out the door and get to church when we're supposed to? Meanwhile, thank you. Sally takes care of me. Meanwhile, the wife has done 150 things since her alarm went off to get her and the kids ready for school, with 20 interruptions in between. But he doesn't really see that because people things are not on the driver's radar. The goal is, get me to church. We're not getting there. It's frustrating. The goal is what's on time. So she needs to present him a goal and test the method. Nagging, yelling, stomping your feet, rolling your eyes, sighing. It's not going to work with a driver. And you don't tell a driver what to do either. You say, let's try this. And she gives him a list of things that need to be accomplished on Sunday morning. And she has a list of things that need to be accomplished on Sunday morning. And she says, let's try this. You get these things done, and I'll get these things done. And let's see if we can't get to church on time. She's been clear, she's been concise, and she has shown a proven way to help him reach the thing that was important to him, and that was his goal of getting to church on time. That's what you need to try to work with a driver. So the last thing is the battle for a driver. Thank you. This is like coffee flavored. Here's the battle for the driver. True long-term productivity. Now, you may hear that and think, wait a minute, you've been saying the whole time how productive, productive, productive. True long-term productivity. Let me explain to you what that means. See, by the age of 35, a driver looks immensely successful. You know, they're the CEOs, they're self-employed, they're in charge of their own companies, they're, you know, a lot of times raking in the money, and they're very, very successful, and they're doing well. But very frequently, very often, by the age of 70, they're the same people that are on their third and fourth marriage. They have one or possibly more of their adult children that are estranged from them, don't want to have anything to do with them. People are the driver's toughest challenge. You cannot just tell a driver, well, you need to be more humble. You can't just tell a driver, you need to spend time with these kids, or why don't you care about our marriage? It's not going to be what his focus is on. So the driver needs to train himself to see long-term. I'm not talking 10, 20 years. I'm talking long-term. They may have business and financial success due to their goal setting, but how about something really hard, something, a really tough goal, like a 50-year marriage to the same woman, or a son or a daughter by the time they're 40 that still loves and respects them? The biggest battle for the driver is right there. And the key to get the driver to see beyond short-term to long-term is to get them to see it while they're young, especially relatively young, starting their families out. Challenge them towards the tough long-term goals like marriage and raising children. When they tackle those types of goals, they can't help but be humbled. When you're working hard on a marriage, working hard on raising your kids, that's what humbles and refines the driver. They will automatically be humbled. So he can think to himself, what is this 5-year-old kid going to think about me as their dad or as their mom when they're 30 years old? That helps them change their focus. And having goals like that in their sight is going to work on these areas of humility and keep people in the scope of this very purpose, goal-driven type of personality. Okay, so that's the drivers. I'm really out of time. Next week, we're going to tackle another one. Come back. Yes. Oh, okay. Offering envelopes coming around. You want to stick something in it when you're going back. But thank you very much for coming. I'm sorry for my throat issues. Hope it wasn't too distracting. But have a great week. We're glad you came, and come back next week.